Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with you again this morning and to put a few more thoughts on paper and share them with you so that hopefully we can both be encouraged, because I know I have been. So I want to take a look at a few thoughts from Proverbs. Now, initially I was going to take you all on a journey of some of my favourite Proverbs and some of others' favourite Proverbs and what they mean to us. But instead we've ended up with a slightly different approach, as we always do. So I asked Dad, I said, have you got a favourite proverb? And he said, no, but he did me one even better. And he shared one of my grandmother's favourite proverbs, so Mum's Mum, which we'll look at a little bit later. But it's based on trust in the Lord. So that's our theme for this morning, trust and in the Lord. So I've titled my talk, Trust in the Proverbs. So we're going to take a little journey again through the Proverbs to see what we can see, to learn what we can learn, and to be encouraged together by it. So why are we looking into the Proverbs this morning? So a little bit of what I've just said, but surely other books talk more about trust. Well, yes they do. And we could dive deep into specific situations to get a deep appreciation of what trust is in the Bible. But this morning, Proverbs is a perfect collection of advice for us. And Proverbs, they apply every day, and they're not specific to a situation or a time or a story. So Proverbs, it's often overlooked among other fantastic parts of the Bible, isn't it, about prophecy, history, and our Lord's work in the Gospels, and so on. But Proverbs, it's full of overflowing wisdom that's often easy to digest and to apply. So this morning, we'll stay almost entirely in the Proverbs. And although Proverbs often comes without the extra context that most of us enjoy, it can still be very helpful for us. So let me ask you a question. If the Proverbs was the only part of Scripture that we had, would it be enough to guide our lives? Well, by God's grace, I think it possibly would be enough. However, we might not have the same hope in Jesus. We wouldn't understand prophecy, and we'd know very little about creation and not as much about the Messiah. But we would still have a broad understanding of mankind's purpose and of God's amazing care for us. However, thankfully, we do have the rest of the Bible. But Proverbs is still a fantastic book of advice, and it can have a far-reaching impact on our lives. So let's get a little bit of background on Proverbs. From my perspective, Proverbs is heavily based on the themes of wisdom and understanding, or warning against a lack of wisdom or a lack of understanding, and how we can serve the Lord with this wisdom and understanding. And it's written from some very, very wise people, including Solomon, of course, who we know was blessed with wisdom, wisdom that we can't even begin to compare to. So let's read the first 7 verses of Proverbs together to set the scene. So Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand the proverb and the saying, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, to highlight the main points here, let's read a few key words. To know, to understand, to receive, to give, followed by hear, increase, understand, guide, and lastly, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, if we're looking for a bit of snappy advice without the backstory, or we're short on time, maybe during a lunch break or while waiting for a bus, then Proverbs is the book for us. So with that background behind us, let's read a few generic Proverbs on trust. So just listen in. So Proverbs 11 verse 13. Whoever spreads gossip betrays secrets, but the trustworthy person keeps a confidence. Proverbs 12 verse 19. A truthful saying is trusted forever, but the liar only for a moment. Proverbs 14 verse 5. A trustworthy witness does not deceive, but a false witness spews lies. Proverbs 27 verse 6. Wounds from someone who loves are trustworthy, but kisses from an enemy speak volumes. So So this is all basic knowledge, isn't it? Trust is the basis on which communities and society at large is built, isn't it? We can't trust our neighbours. If we can't trust our neighbours, we can never leave our homes or our possessions for fear of them being broken or stolen. If we can't trust the engineers who build the bridges, then we'd always be in fear of them collapsing and loss of life. If we can't trust that food from the supermarkets isn't spoiled or poisoned, or that we'll get what we pay for, then we would not be able to live in cities with no room to grow our own food, would we? If we can't trust the electrical lines running to our homes, we can never rely on our lights, our microwaves, or our washing machines. And if we can't trust the sewage system and that it works when we flush the loo, that things are going to get very unhealthy very quickly. So, a society based on trust, it works. But once that trust starts falling apart, the whole society that is built on top of that trust, it can start to collapse. First a little, but it steadily gets worse the less trust there is, until a total collapse occurs. And God knows this. And that's why trust is so heavily reflected throughout the Bible. It's a key component to the Ten Commandments, which was the basis for the nation of Israel. And trust is the basis for the commandment of Jesus. Not only that, but trust is a large component in the basic moral laws for basically all productive societies throughout history. Now, I do note that there's been plenty of advances through force of might and through fear, but those societies that were nowhere near as productive as the more trust-based societies. As an example, think of, say, the Roman or the Greek expansion, or when ancient China when it was unified. They may have used force of might to conquer others, but those that were living under them, although they weren't perfect, the people that were ruled by these empires, they typically trusted their rulers to maintain law and order, to keep them safe from invaders, and to protect their property and possessions. Anyway, all of that aside, what about trust in God? Because, well, that's what matters really to us. So let's read a few more Proverbs. Proverbs 11, verse 28. The person who trusts in his wealth will fall, but the righteous will flourish like green leaves. Whoever trusts in himself is foolish, but whoever lives wisely will be kept safe. It's interesting, isn't it? When I think of my life, I realize how much dependency I have on wealth and my own abilities. But today is no different than any other time in history, is it? Today we believe we can forge our own paths, to buy our own homes, to get the possessions we want, and to do the things we want to do. And we can. And there are many who don't believe in God, and they do just that. They forge their paths, they get the things they want. But our God, he commands us not to rely on wealth, not to rely on our own abilities. Because our God, he knows that there are many, many things in life that are not helpful to us. And there are many things in life that we simply have no control over. Can wealth and our knowledge of science stop natural disasters from occurring? Can it stop viruses from spreading? It can't. Now, we might be able to reduce some of these effects with wealth and knowledge, but we can't stop the forces that God has control over. Instead, these Proverbs command us to be righteous and to do what God has commanded us, to trust in him. So let's take a look at a favourite proverb from Sister Gwen Marley, Mother's Mother. She had a lot of wisdom to share, and her favourite proverb is from Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. It's a simple verse, isn't it? And a beautiful one. So many of us have had a fair amount of education in our different fields of expertise, and we've learnt, and we continue to learn, a vast amount of things as we go through life based on teaching from others and our own personal experiences. But ultimately, what do we trust in for the core matters in life? Should it be our own knowledge and understanding, or do we lean on the Lord? Now, obviously, the Bible doesn't teach us how to fix a car engine or make a bouquet of flowers, but it does teach us how to interact with others. And more importantly, it teaches us where to place our hopes and trust. Let's read Proverbs 3, verses 6 to 8. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. By placing our trust in the Lord, Our paths are made straight, and it will be healing for us. The passage is not saying again that our problems will go away, but as we know, we will have a sure foundation in our God so that we can cope with everything that comes our way in life, and that our God is a comfort to us in those times of trials. So some more examples from Proverbs about trust. Proverbs 28 verse 25. An arrogant man stirs up dissension, but anyone who trusts in the Lord prospers. Proverbs 16 verse 3. Entrust your work to the Lord, and your planning will succeed. These have two meanings, don't they? It doesn't mean we will always be successful and get what we want, although we do on occasion. But really, it means that when we seek God, we will succeed in finding him. Because we read in Proverbs 16 verse 20, whoever listens to the word of instruction prospers, and anyone who trusts in the Lord is blessed. If we seek the things of God, then he will make us prosper in his ways. But remember, to God, his ways are not wealth and possessions, because they may not be the things we need in life. Although all of us here in Western society, we have been blessed with large amounts of both wealth and possessions. But the things that God makes prosper in us is our faith and our trust in him. We can take a great comfort in that. The trust that, and when we can trust that God has a fantastic plan with the Lord Jesus and the kingdom on earth. So, we're commanded to trust God, but how do we trust God? We know the answer already, but since our theme is in the Proverbs, let's read Proverbs 22, verse 17 to 19. Pay attention and listen to the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my teaching, for it is pleasant when you treasure them within you and have them ready on your lips. As a result, your trust will be in the Lord. That's why I'm teaching you today, even you. Verse 19 tells the whole story, doesn't it? When we try our best to take God's word into our hearts, then over time we start to apply those teachings. We come to treasure them. In those same teachings, they impact the way that we live, and they come out in our speech, in our actions, and in what we do. So, and as a result of that change to ourselves, we can know that we do have a God we can trust in. But this change, it doesn't happen quickly. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes many, many, many failures and attempts. As we read in Proverbs 24, verse 16, for the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of trouble. Like this proverb, we've failed many times in the past, and we will fail many times in the future, but each time we fail, we can also learn a little more about ourselves and about our nature, and with repeated effort, can move towards God, and our faith and trust in God gets a little bit stronger each time. So to round out our thoughts this morning, let's consider a question. How can we grow and trust in God if everything goes right in our lives? If everything was right, we could never grow as individuals. We could never refine our character, like the Bible mentions often in the New Testament. We may even question if we need God at all. So when it comes to life, we can take some guidance from Agur, the son of Jakia, a man who we basically know nothing of, but who recorded a profound oracle. So if you turn with me to Proverbs 30, our reading from this morning. And in Proverbs 30, let's start from verse 1. The words of Agur, the son of Jakia, the oracle. The man declares, I am weary, O God. I am weary, O God, and worn out. Surely I am too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name? Surely you know. Every word of God proves true. He is the shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar. Wonderful words, but the next three verses are key. Two things I ask of you. Do not deny them to me before I die. Remove falsehood and lying far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So, brothers and sisters, these are very, very wise words. And they're likely a major influence on the Lord's Prayer. So next time we approach God in personal prayer, maybe tonight before bed, maybe once we get outside in the sunshine after the men, ask God for His truth in your lives, no matter where it takes you. Ask God to balance your life for neither poverty nor riches, no matter how poor you get or how wealthy you become. Ask God to feed you with what is personally needful. Ask God for situations that develop a pleasing character, no matter how hard it may become. Ask God to bring about His gracious purpose for the earth. Come, Lord Jesus.